Well, hello there.
Hi.
Welcome to the return of the Tabletop Trio podcast.
We did it.
I'm Bob.
I'm Joe.
And we got a fun one for you tonight. A lot of stuff that we're catching up on.
Yes.
Stuff that we haven't caught.
Few is what I haven't caught.
I love our our notification that went out when we went live. And if you're a podcast listener and not a Twitch follower, make sure you follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/tabletoptrio. The notification says, "We're back and not sick. Come hang out."
We did it.
And I love how, the running joke, even last week, we're like, oh, God, all right, who's going to die next week?
It was bad.
It was. So what happened?
So whatever virus or whatever is going around, I got, and it's bad.
Oh, yeah.
I had COVID, and it was bad for, 2 days, and then I was like, yeah, that was good. Let's not do that again. Mm-hmm. And then whatever I got last time, I felt bad on Friday night, and I was like, ah, it's fine. It's just a sore throat. No big deal. Then I woke up Saturday. I was like, it's not just a sore throat. I feel really bad. No COVID. And then Sunday rolled around. I was like, I still feel terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then Monday rolled around and I'm like, it's worse. I don't know what to do. I at that point was like,
oh my God,
half a bottle or a 3/4 of a bottle of Mucinex in, going to town. And it was just really bad congestion, chest congestion, with a cough. Then it was a sneeze. Then the sneeze was constant sneezing. And then it finally started to clear up Wednesday.
That's so weird.
And then I was talking to people at work over in California, not even close to me. I didn't give anybody this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they were like, oh, this person had the same thing and this person had the same thing. And I'm like, okay, so this is a new flu variant that got passed around.
Well, because I know before that, a lot of people had a stomach bug.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We're all becoming, I was talking to one person. They're like, oh, it's like the rhino something something thing, and I'm
so just a common cold.
Yeah, I'm like, that's common. He's like, no, it's a new form. And I was like, oh, cool.
So Rhino 2.
So we're all becoming doctors via getting sick over and over.
Literally. That's what I feel like. I know more about my body now,
right?
Because I mean, let's face it, during the whole panini, I'm sitting there and I'm just like, okay, I'm hyper fixated on my body. What's happening? A few weeks ago, I was talking with your wife after D&D, and I'm like, yeah, I just feel in my chest. I feel it's this, and there's this tightness, and she's like, yeah, you're probably really stressed. And I'm like, I am. Holy shit, you're right.
I have to do that to her all the time. She's like, I feel a tightness, and then sometimes it skips, and then I can't. And I'm like, that's called anxiety. We know you have that. And she's like, that's a thing.
Well, because for me, the 20-somethingth of February, we didn't do a show.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, a longtime friend of mine passed away and had the viewing and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be okay enough to go to the viewing and then be like, hey, everybody, what's going on? It's Tabletop Tree.
Yeah.
I didn't have that in me.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, we're gonna take a little break. And then you're like, hey, I'm dead.
Yeah.
And then the next week you're like, hey, I'm dead again.
Yeah. I was like, remember how I felt bad or better? And you were like, yeah. And I was like, I lied. I got food poisoning. You were close. That was worse. I was like, I think I can get through it. And then 5 minutes later, I was like, I can't get through it. And I messaged you.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, yeah, it'll be fine. Oh, we'll totally. No.
It's not fine.
Helldivers tonight. Let's go. I'm like, yeah. Cool. Fine by me.
Yeah, I could deal with Helldivers and a quick pause every so often.
Right? Hey, Justin, welcome in. I still looking for favorite hobbies. Yeah, I mean, this is kind of our whole spiel of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Anything about hobbies, anything anyone's interested in, that's kind of the gist.
Yeah.
And I was telling you beforehand that, you know, I did the race where, like, there was, like, five viewers of mine. Mm-hmm. Justin is one of them. He was in the race spotting for another one of my viewers. And they're both, Justin loves to give me a hard time in racing. You know how I give you shit for not moving over?
I mean,
for, like,
you give me shit for
like leaders and that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah.
It is the funniest thing. And, like, I am dead serious when I say this. It is the funniest thing when in the comments, I'll see, like, that, like, Justin comments and he's like, "Bob, hold your line. It's up to the leaders to get around you." And I'm like, "I know. I'm
That's
trying.
What I'm saying." And Bob is over here. He's like, "No, just move over. Just get out of the way." I'm like, "I don't want to get out of the way. I'm getting into a good groove here. I finally took a turn and didn't feel like I was going to hit the wall. It felt good. And now you're telling me to just move up there and then live up there? I'm hitting that wall." And then I do. And then I hit the wall.
And then you tell them that you, "I hope you choke on a mozzarella stick."
Damn right. You gotta.
As I'm sitting here doing the.
That's how it works. I do that while I drive. That's just how it works. We got to start doing more of the races on random days. It's just.
We do.
Especially with the VR. I finally got, like, my VR is, like, getting better set up. Like, I'm getting things more situated, and I'm feeling like it's starting to work more. VR is finally working better.
Okay.
So I feel like I finally got, like, into a good groove of, like, okay, I think I could just plug it in and then get into a race, as opposed to before where it was like, I plug it in and then I have to set it up, and then I have to check to make sure everything is working, and then I'll grab my headset, and now I need to get up after every race to go click the thing to get to the next race. It's finally gotten to a point with, like, the tech where I could leave my monitors in the background on my headset, so I could switch through my headset into, like, remote desktop, pick the next race, and then switch back into the game, and then have it work. And I'm like, oh, this is so much better.
Yeah, I have yet to do any, like, official racing with the headset.
Good luck.
I am terrified. Because, like, I can barely get around a racetrack as it
is. I'm gonna pull an EA. It changes everything. Because, like, right now, you're used to, I'm driving, I'm going to click a button, I'm going to look to the left. I'm going to click the other button, I'm going to look to the right. I'm going to look to that part of my monitor to see my rearview mirror. And, like, you know, you get into that mindset, you're in a video game. When you hop into, like, the headset and the field of view changes, and then your natural, like, I'm just in a car kicks in, and, like, you just look that way to see the car to your right, or you look that way, or you realize you can't really see the rearview mirror because it's, like, up here in your regular field of view, so you have to look up to look at your rearview mirror, and then sometimes there's an asshole just right in the blind spot, so then I'm an asshole. If you could have a camera on me while I'm in iRacing, because you'll see me driving, and then just, like, where the fuck? Where is he? And then I'm, like, over here looking behind my shoulder, like, trying to, like, lean out, not crash into a wall, which I'm gonna, because I'm bad at the game. Well,
and that's the thing, too. Like, when we eventually were going to be doing a longer live stream for charity, I think in the fall, winter,
whenever it is,
we'll have more info, obviously, when we get closer. We're going to do something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And we might have to do the pro versus Joe time trials.
Oh, absolutely.
Or something like, even if we do, like, a super low-powered car on a small track, just to be like, okay, I'm going to hit this mark.
Oh, my God, you know what we could do?
Can you do it? And we could even do it, like, Top Gear, like, star in a reasonably priced car. Same car, same track. I set the lap time.
And then I have to try.
We get a guest to come on. We have another guest to come on, and they all try to do the same lap. And we sit there. It's like, all right, this person did it in blank.
Yeah. Who could do better?
That would be awesome. Like, get Cast Iron Kyle to come on. Any other guests. It's like, hey, real quick, we're going to throw you on the simulator. We're going to give you some time to warm up, some time to practice.
Yeah, you get...
And go for it.
You get two dry laps, two hot laps.
Yeah. Well, and now that iRacing
has... Two wet laps.
Now that iRacing has rain, you could race in the rain as well.
Yeah, I haven't played since the rain thing came out. That was actually on one of my topics is what changed. Because I've seen... There's a lot of updates that rolled out. I just haven't played since the updates.
So the biggest one is iRacing is calling it the Tempest System. Mm-hmm. Where they take real-world weather and real-world climate and pull that into consideration when it comes to rain. Mm. So there are three modes. Fixed weather, where it's, okay, you pick the temperature, you pick the type of day, and that's it the whole time.
Right.
Wind speed, you can have it super custom where it's like, okay, I want it to be 69 degrees and sunny all day with a 2-mile-an-hour wind.
Mm.
You could have forecasted weather where they say, okay, here's the forecast for this part of the country or this part of the world or whatever. It could rain.
Oh, man.
And then you have...
Did they have like a limit of like the wind speeds?
I don't know. I haven't gone super in depth.
I would love to crank it. I'd be like, yeah, we're going to race.
Well, a lot of the races last weekend were torrential downpour rain with like 25-mile-an-hour wind.
Yeah, I want to race with like 60-mile-an-hour winds. I want to see what happens.
We've raced... By accident, I did a league race a couple of years ago where everyone in the league's like, hey, yeah, can we make it a little windier, you know, a little cooler? And our admin's like, okay, cool, yeah, I'll set the wind. The wind wound up being like whatever the max wind is the entire race. So it's like 25, 30-mile-an-hour tailwind coming through the corner. Everyone kept spinning out, coming out of like turn four because the way the wind was hitting and all that. But the cool thing about the whole Tempest thing is there's a third one where you can schedule your weather.
Ah.
So you can schedule actually the weather before the session even starts. So you can go out on a completely damp, soaked racetrack and have it start to warm up and dry up as you go on.
That's cool.
And then it takes into account like your tire temperatures and all that and heats up certain sections of the track.
That is literally my nightmare. My first four laps are my greatest laps. You're just going to take that away from me.
And on top of that, it takes into account the amount of rubber on the racetrack too.
No, no.
So rubber plus water equals no grip. So you actually have to avoid the actual racing line when you're braking and turning.
That's easy.
So if you're taking a corner normally, you're, you know, all the way out to the side, you come into the apex and you come back out. Like this, you basically have to go like barely off the racing line, stay out wide, and come back in barely off the racing line.
You just,
because the minute you either hit a puddle.
That's just my line.
Same. I've actually had a couple viewers comment, they're like, wow, yeah, nothing really changed for you.
Damn. You have to get some Neosporin while you read your comments.
Oh, Jesus my God. It's one of those things where it's so cool. I did a race the other day with AI. Every rain-enabled car on the track at the same time. So you have GTP cars.
Are not all the cars
not everything yet? Is rain-enabled yet.
Oh.
So it's only the IMSA cars, which are the GTP cars, the LMP2 cars, the endurance cars, GT3 cars. They have the Super Formula Light car, which is an open-wheel car. They have the Formula Ford 1600, which is a really tiny, like, learner car. Basically the equivalent of Legends or road cars for open wheel.
It's the one that has the big hood that's like crooked, or is that different?
Maybe. It basically looks like you take a really short cigar and throw wheels with sticks on it.
Yep.
One step up from the Formula V, which is just a pencil. And the Toyota GR86.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
Which is also the Subaru BRZ, but...
And they didn't put the Miata in yet?
It doesn't have rain yet.
Because they did.
Yeah.
Because isn't it when they drive, it's a convertible?
Yeah.
Do they have to model the top on? Is that the problem? They're like, guys, there's a top. We have to put the top on. It's raining. This was on us. We never expected this to happen. Oh, my God.
I mean, honestly.
If they can give me a button with the top up, top down. Just
that would be amazing.
That would be my favorite thing. I would just be driving.
I need more downforce.
Like in, up, in, up.
I'm the worst person.
I feel like we need that in like BeamNG.
Yeah, well, didn't they release? That's like finally out now.
I think it's still technically beta.
Mm.
But I don't know for certain.
I don't know. We haven't played since I modded the Beam MP mod.
That's another thing we need to get into more.
And then I crashed into you at like 900 miles an hour. And
so I got the Nürburgring.
In
BeamNG.
Oh, boy.
And it's like fully modeled.
Really?
Perfectly modeled.
Hmm.
So I'm thinking we need to do that and just do hot laps and stupid laps. And it's the full Nürburgring Nordschleife and the Nürburgring Grand Prix.
Oh, so it's the big boy.
So it's like both the Nordschleife and the F1 track, and they're connected.
Hmm. That's a big track.
Oh, it large. My goal one of these days is to actually do the 24-hour Nürburgring race.
We could do that during the Extra Life.
Oh, God, do that for 24
hours. 24 hours. Just hot lapping partners. Just someone get on. I'm going to pit.
I've done 10 laps. All right, it's your turn.
I actually can't feel my leg. Please let me get out of the car. No, Joe, you have 15 more laps. I can't do it.
Dude, I am seriously down for that. I have been wanting to do an endurance race for so long. As long as you're okay with me using the racing line. That is the only track I need the racing line for.
I need the line.
It's the only one. Literally, I can do every other track. Even if I put it on for practice and just be like, okay, here's my braking marker. Here's this. All right, I'm good for the race. That one, it's just like, I'm out.
I need the line everywhere. And even then, it doesn't help. The line's there, but like, you know, it's my brain isn't willing. I think that's the problem. Like I work on it and I try, and then I start getting into a groove, and then I'm not going fast enough. So then I start trying to go faster, and then I lose the groove, and then I still am not going fast enough. So then I crash, and then I wheel it back because I crashed, so now I'm going slow again. And then I just repeat the process, and then it's just that again.
Yet for some reason, you are unbelievably capable in the Legends car.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just gone with that.
You have never started worse than like fifth in the Legends car.
No, I'm really good in the Legends car. You move me up to any other car, my brain's just like, mm-mm.
I had you try Arca, and you're just like, no.
Yeah. I mean, it was okay, but...
And then the one time I accidentally put you in... one of my favorite racing moments with you was when I put you in the IRX, the Rallycross racing, and you're like, Bob, there's a jump. Bob, there's a... Oh, God. I'm going to be sick.
Yeah, no, that was... It wasn't expected, especially with VR on. Thank God I didn't have... Like, I don't have the rest of the simulator set up, because... If my rig just lifted off the ground 4 inches and then landed, I would have thrown up.
Mm-hmm.
Just wasn't ready for it. I got to go in prepared.
Yeah. Well, I really can't do dirt or rallycross anymore because of my wheel.
Oh, because it was just too strong?
It's the formula wheel.
Oh, you don't have the bottom.
So it's a paddle, so it's not a circle.
Or at the top.
So I tried doing a dirt race the other day, and it's week 13 was last week, so those races don't count.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a select few that are actually like counted towards your I rating, safety rating, all that. And I'm sitting there, I go into the corner and I'm like,
oh, now what?
Oh, my hands don't work this way. Cause I'm used to, you know, instead of being like, you know, what is it? Like 3-9.
Yeah.
I'm used to being,
oh, you're a 10-2er.
Basically a 10 and 2 when I'm racing.
Mm.
So especially in dirt racing, I could do this or I could be like, you know, one of those. It's a different.
See, I am planted 9-3.
So am I, but having that extra bit.
Well, even with mine, like I my problem is when I start to go too far, like if I have to actually start turning, my brain forgets to put hand over hand and start turning more. And I think my biggest problem with that is because I have a smaller wheel. Mm-hmm. It's not a real car wheel. So, like, I have to really, like, turn and then just put, like, this one over here because it's so small. And then, but then, you know, you're immediately coming out of the turn. So, you let it go and then you go back here and it's like.
I've also noted noticed seating position actually helps with that.
Mm.
Because when I race, I'm usually, it's just an office chair for me.
Mm.
So, I'm sitting like this. And if I'm trying to make a turn, like, this is about all I can do.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm sitting back and I'm out here, look at how much more you can turn.
Yeah, I'm fully out.
So, yeah, if you're fully out, you should be able to do...
Should.
Should. But you're also in VR.
Yeah.
So that also has that, like, spatial...
Yeah, that is true.
It does. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it does.
So then you start going like this, and now, since you're in VR... Your camera is also doing one of those things.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's an interesting, like when you pick up, once you start, you'll realize it's a very, it's like the same, but different.
Yeah.
I think it's more fun. At least it's definitely more immersive, but.
I've definitely played around with like AI racing, but that's kind of about it.
Well, that makes sense. You were good and have a safety rating. I could just dick around immediately because I'm terrible.
Hey, I just got my A license in road racing back.
I don't even think I got to. I'm still a rookie.
You're
like
still
three
a rookie
of the four.
In three of the five now.
There's five.
They split road.
I'm even worse.
They split. They split road into sports car and open wheel.
Oh no!
Because they realize some people are better at open wheel than they are at sports car.
It's me.
I shouldn't have an A license, but here I am.
Yeah, I was shocked when I got the D license.
Honestly, that's fairly easy. Once you get over a 3 and do your 4 races, at the end of the season, you get promoted.
Mm.
So as long as you're above a 3 after the season...
It was very close.
You get lifted up, and then they bring it back down.
I think I was pi.
But then when you go to 1, like a 1.9 or something like that, and you... don't lift it up after a while, they demote you.
Mm.
Ask me how I know. I've lost my A license too many times.
I've been running enough races.
In road.
And being safe enough that I'm still holding the D. Yeah, we keep it. We like it. We're here for it. So. What happened? It is. It is indeed easy to get the D.
Jesus H.
I wonder if I could 3D print you the rest of your wheel. Like, just like a clip on.
That would be amazing.
I wonder. There is a dedicated community of 3D printers, and I feel like a lot of that community is also a racing community.
Oh, 100%.
Like, I feel like there's a lot of...
Thank you, Ange.
there's a lot of crossover. I feel like there's a lot of... So there has to be people who have modded, like, steering wheel, like, things and stuff like that to try to, like... Because the wheels are expensive, like, the replacement, like, the other wheels.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the brands I was looking at, I think it's Moza, where you can buy their hub...
Mm-hmm.
Which all the hub is your buttons and your flappy paddles.
Yep.
And the stalk that connects to the actual wheel. And then you can buy extras that you bolt on.
Yeah.
And so you can bolt on, and it's not really a quick change, but you bolt on the full rim, or you could bolt on the formula style, or like a D-shaped one, or.
Yeah, I think they were the one that make the it's available where you could just go buy a wheel from like a store, like a full size, and the buttons will fit there. So you could, I think that's what that was originally for. But it works great for everything else or whatever.
Yeah. The downside is with the brand that I have, Acetec, they are fantastic. I love the wheel that I have. A lot of people say it's ugly, but I love the green and it's like green and yellow.
I'm a fan.
I have to look into getting an oval wheel, or I think they only sell D-shaped wheels.
Well, so close it's enough.
It's flat on the bottom and then curved everywhere else.
See, I feel like I'd be okay with that just because I drive a Nissan and that is the wheel.
Yeah, true.
So I'm like, I'm just used to that. So I don't think it would bother me.
Fair.
But I know, I don't know. I never, to me, the flat bottom, round bottom doesn't really do much for me. Mm-hmm. At least not with racing.
Yeah. God.
You missed one.
Yeah, like I'm looking up the Acetek stuff now. And I am terrified.
Oh, while you're looking that up and having positive reviews.
Oh, actually, it's Acetek that has it. So they have the Forte button box.
Yeah, look at that.
And it's just that. And then you can go in and buy.
Oh, just like big wheels and whatevers?
Like the rims. Come on.
Yeah, man.
Like the rims for it.
Oh, it's not a bad price either.
It really isn't.
What's with the open top? How is that helpful?
Formula.
Closed bottom, open top?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically taking a formula wheel where it's closed top, open bottom.
Yeah, I know. It just, what's the bottom for? It feels like I'd be riding a bike.
Well, you... I'm picturing on the way... Get out of my way!
Listen, this is just how my brain works. While you were talking about how positive your
oh, they have the round Comfort Plus rim.
Comfort Plus. Mm. That now this sounds well. I heard the Turtle Beach. It's finally getting reviews, and I was excited for it because I thought we were finally going to get a good wheel at a budget price. Well, not budget, but like in all things racing, a budget price. And now the reviews are coming out, and it is not looking good.
The fact that the gas pedal is light switch and not, like, potentiometered?
It is. It's just not working right. So,
hopefully
I was watching...
that was just a pre-production bug.
No, that was retail. The reviewers that have been having it are retail reviews.
The era of getting the Mad Catz controller...
Yeah.
It's like, I'll have the Sony controller, you'll have the Mad Catz Player 2 controller.
Remember when back in the day those controllers were the shit?
Yeah.
I had...
With turbo mode.
I still have... I just opened up in one of my boxes. We're getting ready to finally do the basement, so I was bringing all my video game stuff up. And I was going through the boxes just because I was like, why the fuck are things so heavy? And up on top was my GameStop... branded.
Oh.
Clear PS2 wireless controller.
Oh.
And
the good.
I'm holding it, and the L2, R2 are in, like, basically at the back bottom. So, like, your L1, R1 are up top, and, like, your L2, R2 are, like, more sunk in. So, like, you're really, like...
And they were concave, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they were... And I held it, and I was like... God, this controller was so fucking comfortable. Why didn't Sony just take this design?
Right.
It was so good.
And it's crazy to me how good that is.
And it was wireless, which at the time, PlayStation and Sony didn't make wireless controllers. Yeah. So, like, step up wireless.
I still have mine. The clear plastic. And the batteries were one in each handle.
Yeah, one in each handle with the and little screw still that had, you could never fucking...
And it still had the vibrating...
Yeah.
Motors on either end,
you
too.
You could see them.
That was the coolest thing to watch.
Yeah.
Like, I would purposely wreck and then hold the controller and watch, like, the little bar.
So,
just, like, loop.
So, you know what else I found? My Mad Catz steering wheel.
Yes.
It's so bad.
It was awful. Literally, I got one for Christmas. I plugged it into my PS2. I did, like, two races, and I'm like, this is... dumb.
Yeah.
I'm going back to my controller.
It has like the little...
And now here I am.
The little shifter, and it just clicks up and down, and it's like right next to the wheel. It's it's right there. You can't even... Like, as a kid, it was too close. I can't imagine me trying to use that now.
Right.
But let us know in the comments, because I have it, and PS2 to USB adapters are a thing. So boy, can we set that up and see if we could do an iRace with a Mad Catz PS2 steering wheel.
I have watched.
See how that goes.
A streamer. You probably don't know who he is, but a guy by the name of Jimmy Broadbent. He, YouTuber, streamer, all that kind of stuff, now actually races in real life because of his streaming stuff. He did a race in iRacing using motion controls. It is one of my favorite, most chaotic videos because he's sitting there and he's like, all right, guys, I'm using motion control, so we'll see how this goes.
Good luck, everybody else.
And it was not pretty.
I bet.
But he somehow got motion controls to work in iRacing, so if you can get the wheel or the computer to recognize the wheel.
Oh, super easy.
I don't see why it wouldn't work.
Yeah, it would pop up as a controller. A terrible, terrible controller.
Well, iRacing does accept controllers.
That's what I mean. Easy peasy.
Over the weekend, Max Verstappen, like, Formula One world champion, like, absolute, like, sim racing, ridiculously good. Mm-hmm. He was racing all weekend using a controller. And everyone's like, how is he this good on controller?
It's not fair.
Like, the man is insanely talented.
Sometimes, if you're good, you're good. But speaking of insanely talented, what's with web gloves? I need to know. It popped up in the news. I was confused because I'll tell you what my mind thought and why it didn't make sense, and then you could fill me in on how bad of an interpretation that was.
Okay.
The driver had a webbed glove. So my only thought process was, I guess if he wants to slow down, he just sticks his hand out and tries to get just like a little bit more of, like, you know, that's all my mind could come up with.
So you are actually half correct.
Damn.
So for super speedways, you want the least amount of drag as possible. Mm-hmm. In NASCAR, they don't have a driver's side window. It's open and it's a window net. Mm-hmm. So air is going to get into the car. Drivers are allowed to put their hand up against the window net and try to push out to kind of have it so when the air hits their hand, it bounces off and doesn't really get redirected into the car. It gets redirected away from the car, cutting drag, making you go faster.
Ah.
Joey Logano was caught on camera with a webbed glove. So basically, you put your hand out. Air is going to come through. Right. You go like this, air is going to come through.
Right.
You go like this with a webbed glove, air ain't getting through.
Right.
He was fined because he, and the reason of the fine is not because he had a webbed glove. Mm-hmm. It's because he altered safety equipment. Because your glove is there in case you get caught on fire, you don't catch fire. So they altered the safety equipment. It was not approved. And therefore, he was fined.
Yeah. So technically not illegal yet.
It's it's illegal. What he did was not illegal.
How he did it?
It's how he did it was illegal. You can put your hand up to block, but you can't have a web.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Is it really that big of a...
He got fined.
No, not the fine. The fine was probably gigantic.
Like 10 grand?
Does it make that big of a difference? Like,
he started on the front row for 3 of the 4 races so far this year.
Has he been doing it the whole time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They caught him after Atlanta, which is the second race of the year.
Mm.
So he did it for the Daytona 500 and was on pole.
Mm.
Did it for Atlanta, qualified second. And NASCAR just happened to, because they'll go through, every car has onboard cameras.
Right.
Some have, like, better for the broadcast because sponsors pay for them and blah, 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 blah. And this one was a camera shooting directly at him, and they saw him have his hand up.
Oh, and
His hand was like this, and it looked like he was wearing a catcher's mitt.
Got ya.
And even the TV's like, huh.
What's that?
But they didn't catch it because of the TV. They caught it because NASCAR does random checks.
Oh.
And they just happened to say, all right, we'll look at the 22. Oh, well, that's new.
Oh, so it was just... This could have been...
Just coincidence. He could have been doing it for months.
Right. This could have been...
But NASCAR just said, we're going to look at the 22. And there's the glove.
Interesting.
Which was real, like, cheating in NASCAR is my Roman Empire. Like, you know, like the meme, like, oh, guys only think about one thing. My thing is about cheating in NASCAR. Like, I was telling you all off the air how there was a driver, or a crew chief, rather, when they mandated the size of gas tanks, said, well, he didn't mandate the size of the fuel line. So he added extra fuel line. So instead of going straight from the gas tank to the engine,
right,
it zigzagged and coiled and all that kind of stuff, which gave him like 4 or 5 extra laps of fuel. Literally everyone ran out of fuel in the race, and here he's going, and they're like, what's going on? He's like, oh yeah, I just did a really good job of saving fuel.
Yeah, just real good at it.
And at the end, NASCAR's like, bro, no, no, no.
Come on.
And it's like those little like things. There were teams back in the days that, back when NASCAR used to actually paint all of their cars, some teams moved over to vinyl. Some teams kept painting. The paint-sponsored cars kept painting their cars because they noticed they can do a clear coat and have less ridges.
Right.
Instead of, like, layer and all that kind of thing. Because at the time, it was, all right, here's one layer of vinyl, here's another layer of vinyl, here's a third layer of vinyl. So it, like, kind of stacked up.
Right.
With the paint, they'd actually go over it in one coat.
Right.
For a while, teams had like all black cars, or like blacked out certain parts of their car because of the scanning system that they used to like scan the car for.
So the black would make
being
it
in line.
Yeah.
The black would actually trick the scanning system, so they could do little funky things, and the scanning system's like, "No, you're good." So they'd have little things there. Pit crew members would stumble and fall into the car. And put a giant dent in the car, which would help it aerodynamically. And NASCAR would be like, well, they fell. There's nothing wrong with that.
Counts.
I mean, there was one where one of the teams manipulated the back window of the car. So, like, when they're driving, you'd see, like, a giant... It looked like a tree fell in the back of the car. It was, like, dented in. And as they're driving, their roof flaps would go up. Because of that little pocket, it would create like basically some kind of reverse airflow, like a little pocket.
Yeah.
So it would kick up the roof flap. And then with the roof flap going up ever so slightly, would kick all the air off of the back spoiler.
Right.
So the spoiler is there to create drag, air off the spoiler, less drag, you go faster.
Right.
And NASCAR's like, no, 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 you can't do that.
Stop.
But it's those little tiny things that they're like, all right, well, technically this is within the parameters that NASCAR set.
Mm-hmm.
Have at it.
That's, I wonder, it's just, because now I'm thinking of, like, how to break things, because that's how my brain works.
You would be great at NASCAR.
Yeah, probably. I wonder if we could run, like, ChatGPT or something through, like, optimal iRacing setup per car to see, like, can ChatGPT set us up with, like, the correct settings for, like, a certain race and see, like, stock versus what, like, you would configure versus what ChatGPT could configure. Who would do a better lap time?
So there's a YouTube channel that I follow called Team i5G. They used to do a series called ARCA Break Weekly where they would play the radio chatter from the bottom split ARCA race, which is usually ridiculous. This the one guy from the group, Brendan, streams on Twitch, and he had ChatGPT create a setup for him to run. And he tried it out, and it was awful. Like, he's like, hey, do this, you know, for Indianapolis Motor Speedway, you know, here are the parameters, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And ChatGPT's like, okay, here you go.
Terrible, just absolutely
it
terrible.
Was so bad. He's like, I don't know if this is going to even pass. And it didn't even pass inspection. He's like, okay, I'll put everything to minimum and then go out. And he's like 30 miles an hour off the pace.
Oh, God. All right, well, there went that. I thought maybe we could have some fun. Maybe it would give us some, like, you know, it would make us cook. You know what I mean?
That would be amazing. I just don't think AI and ChatGPT are like
not there yet.
Quite there yet.
But it's learning, and that's the thing. The more people put in settings and the more people ask it questions, the more it's going to learn and up with better.
Well, I saw you can now have it, like, you can import, like, CSV files, and it'll give you, like, the other day, that same streamer put in, he's like, all right, give me a press release based on the results of this race. And he uploaded the CSV file, and it said, so-and-so was the largest charger starting at blah, 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 and finishing blah, blah, blah. It doesn't have any context, so it'll be like, oh, a bad race for this person. He started first and finished 39th. It's like, well, yeah, he wrecked with like five laps to go.
Right.
So it doesn't, they're just like, oh, that was a bad race.
Right.
Even though he led almost every lap, but he crashed, so he had a terrible race.
Right. He was good until it wasn't.
Yeah. I might have to start using that for press releases for my league races that I do.
Right.
Just be like, here's your press release from this week.
I think the biggest thing is if you put a snippet into said CSV file, like led the race for 40 out of 50 laps or whatever each person, and then have it spit out, it'd probably be a lot better. Well,
that file does have, like, that's the full results that you pull from iRacing itself. So it's got, you know, started, finished, laps led, fastest lap, you know, average lap.
I wonder if you could just do the thing that I've been doing with ChatGPT, which is I'll ask it to do something, and then it'll spit out a thing, and if it's too much, I'll be like, that's too much, and then it would shorten it, and like, you know, and then the one time I asked it to do something, it just spit it out, and I was like, that's too much, and then it spit it out again, and then I looked at it, and I had like two sentences, whatever I was trying, I forget what I was trying to do, I think it was a work thing, and it was like five paragraphs down to like one paragraph, and I was like, nope. Still too short, still too long. So it spit it out again, and it put it into like bullet points. And I was like, perfect.
Good enough for me.
And then I was like, I wonder though, make this longer. Make this longer. Not long enough. It was like a book, dude. Like
lower.
It was making up so much shit to try to make it longer. I was like, man, you are really just... there are dots that don't exist that you're trying to connect right now. I'm here for it. This is perfect.
You are trying, and that's all that matters.
I think I tried it once to do one of our episodes. I was like, ChatGPT, give me an episode for our channel. We're a hobby channel. And then it gave me like a rundown. And then it was like, try to design a game. And I was like, nah. And it was like,
no.
Okay, let's try this. And it tried something else. I was like, yeah, you're close. We talk about board games and hobbies. We don't create them.
Yes.
I mean, I would like to. Yet. Yeah, I would like to, but no.
Well, we still have streaming to do for some of the board games.
We do.
Like, we got this board game here.
The One Deck Galaxy?
One Deck Galaxy. We got this from PAX Unplugged.
Yes.
And we are still planning on doing a stream of it. We just need a little bit more time to get our thoughts together and all that kind of thing. But I'm excited to do more gaming-related, board game-related stuff. Because, let's face it, we are a hobby podcast.
Yeah.
We talk about hobbies. Sim racing is my, like, biggest hobby next to D&D. You know, you have 3D printing, computers, tech.
All the other ones.
Everything else.
ADHD. And racing.
Yeah. So, like, you know, we have all of that kind of stuff. We still definitely need to get into this.
Yeah, I think we have to do a couple. We have to play this guy because this seemed like a really fun time. And then I had an idea. So, behind you, I have the Fog of Love back there. It's supposed to be a game for you and your partner.
Oh, God.
So, I bought it for me and my wife, and I thought, because they said it was an RPG game, I thought it was like a D&D style RPG where it's like, you know, hours and hours and hours long.
Roll for affection.
Basically. Like, not like that, but you know, I thought it was like a long, like their story, and you have to, like a video game style. That's what I thought it was. Turns out, it's not. It's like 30 or 40 minutes long, sometimes even less.
Even in a box that big?
There's a lot of scenarios.
Oh, okay.
So that's how it works. You like do different scenarios and then you pick like who's playing who and stuff like that. So that could be interesting to do with me and you.
That would actually as, be really funny.
as the two lovers and to see what we come up with.
Yeah. Every now and then my girlfriend would be like, "So, how's your boyfriend doing?" I'm just like, shut up.
We had a fight because he didn't want to go buy the thing we were supposed to buy. So it's...
He's not my boyfriend. Shut up.
So, could be fun.
That would actually be really funny. Just to be like... Just to like have like the most shithouse people.
Yeah. Just terrible. Well, that's what sold me when I went to go buy it, the big thing. I was like, what's that about? He's like, oh, it's for, you know, you and your partner, and you could be the best, like, nicest couple to each other, and, you know, you could help each other out and make sure everything is good, or you could just be the worst person. And I was like, I see. You get to play out any fantasy you want. I'm the asshole. I'm helpful. You let me know. Or not. It's my decision. So...
I love how the tagline of Love on Lockdown is this expansion pack is, I guess we'll stay in and watch a movie, ... again.
Yeah, that was, they released during COVID, yeah. Obviously. But I figured it could be interesting. We could see what happens.
I think that'd be fun. It looks like this game is 60 to 120 minutes.
I guess when you do the both.
Maybe, yeah.
They figured you ain't got nothing else to do on lockdown. They just make it a little longer.
Contents, one branching love story, 45 scene cards, 8 destinies, 1 risk / boredom board, 2 reckless tokens, and 2 apathetic tokens.
Reckless. Interesting.
Very. So we are going to have some board game streams coming soon. I have a few games that I've been dying to play.
Yeah.
Because... I'll play Sigrada every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking love that game.
Yeah, Elena plays every night before bed.
Mobile.
You could buy it on the Play Store or iOS, I'm assuming. And she, like, that's her before I pass out. She's got to win, like, 3 games. Like, that's her.
It's a fun game.
That's
her thing. So I've been wanting to play that. I've been wanting to play Fire Tower because I bought the deluxe edition, which I believe you have over behind me somewhere.
Yeah, it's in the back over there.
It's somewhere back there.
It's behind the kites game.
So it's like right
above
over my head.
Yeah.
So I've been wanting to do that, and then I bought a racing board game called Rolling Thunder.
Yeah.
Where it's a dice drafting game. So you roll some dice, you spend whatever your dice are, re-roll them, spend whatever you have remaining, and at the end of the round, everyone moves at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of like, okay, I'm going to do here, but now I'm stuck behind this guy, which means I get to slingshot, so I can slingshot around him.
Right.
But then this guy's behind him, so he slingshots here.
So a lot of could be interesting gameplay.
Yeah, and there's a single race mode, and there's a championship mode where you do multiple ones, and you can make it like a almost like a campaign race or a campaign game. So you do one race, and then on the backside there's a road course. So one side is oval, the other side is a road course, and you can race through that.
I'd like to incorporate multiple board games into one somehow giant board game. You know? Like you play Monopoly.
I wonder how that would work.
Like you play Monopoly, and then your bank money from Monopoly funds like
your racing career.
And if you go bankrupt, then you have to go find it. You know what I mean?
It's like, man, I would love to come over here and roll some dice so I could race in my car, but I got a mortgage to play over and Love on Lockdown.
I'm sorry. She's just really mad at me. I didn't do the thing. I need like a half hour.
I got to put my kid through college in the game of life. Oh, and I also have to solve a murder in this noir game that we have.
Oh, that's so crazy. One of the drivers is dead.
Let's find out why. Was it you, Mr. Mustard?
Like,
don't know. There's got to be a thing. One of the things I want
to
do.
There's a way to do that.
One of the things I want to do before I get too old to, and then it just looks stupid. Or maybe it gets better with time. I don't know. Let me know. You guys let me know. I want to have 6 to 8 people, because I think that's how many people are needed for the game. I don't remember if it's 6 or 8, to come to someone's house. This is probably going to be a multi-day thing, because the game takes for fucking ever. To play Risk, or I think I have 1942. It's like it's a two-part game. One is East and one is West. So you actually put the two maps together. It's 6 feet long by 3 feet wide. Collectively,
we definitely need to do that.
Yeah, and then it's World War II, but like super involved. But
super war.
But I need every person to wear the general outfit of whatever army they are playing.
That's amazing.
And basically cosplay World War II. I'll give everybody the little sticks from like Craps.
Oh my
to
god!
Like to push like your guys war around. Games. Like yeah, like we're doing. And I just, you know, it's one of those things where I've been wanting to do it for like 7 years, but who has like 9.5 hours to play these things? And then also get the outfits and everything else. But like, God, would it be fun? And
if anyone volunteers to play Germany during that time, sometimes we need to think about things.
Yeah, we can't really. That's going to be a fun Google search to try to get that costume.
Right.
My grandpa had one. Can I borrow it? I mean, it's...
Can I talk? Can we step aside for a second? Hey, bud, so tell me, why?
Yeah. Do you still have it? And is it like a good memory or a bad memory?
What are your thoughts now?
Yeah, how do you feel about it? But I don't know. It's one of those things where I've been wanting to do that. And now I'm like, the older I get... Is it going to get
better? Oh, it's going to get so much better.
Or worse when you're wearing that outfit, like, because you get, like, distinguished. I'll get the fake little thingies that, like, you know, the little stars and all that.
Right? Couple of pins.
Yeah, a couple of pins.
Call me Commander Bob.
Here's your stick.
And then you have to talk in like that 1940s. Oh, and now we're going over here.
I'll give everybody microphones. What a world. And headphones, and I'll set the road to make it like an AM style.
Oh my god.
So that we can only hear like half of what we're saying.
And now I'm going to go over here.
It's still too clear.
I don't want to fuck with the settings.
I know, it's not worth it.
No. Not worth it for the gym.
But yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of board games I've been wanting to play mm-hmm. lately. I just haven't had the time and I'm sure a lot of people feel the same.
Yes, 1,000%.
So, but what I have had time to do, I finally got to use my 3D printer. My big one, like my regular plastic one,
mm-hmm.
for something actually useful.
Really? No?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck the puss?
No. For the first time, honestly and truthfully, I think ever, I've... printed something that is actually useful for a thing out of that 3D printer. I have never printed anything that is convenient or useful. It's really usually just stupid. I print stupid things and then giggle and then put it on a shelf somewhere because it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
My
Can confirm.
My sister, who was on the channel, who was doing all the flower stuff, has a wedding that she booked. And this person wanted a certain... style of vase, I'm going to call it, where is basically like two circles that you could fill with water in between, and then there's a hole in the middle for you, like a candle or whatever. So these things sell on Etsy and whatever for like $140
okay.
each. You need one per table.
Yikes.
For however many tables.
Yeah, 12 tables, you're looking...
Right. So, she sent it to me, and she's like, I really want these, but, like, I don't want to pay that much. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Do you want me to just 3D print it? And she went, heh. And I was like, the thing, with the, you know, with the thing that I have downstairs, and then it just prints. She's like, yeah, but how do you get the model? I'm like, I have friends. They model.
Mm-hmm.
I yell at them. It'd be fine.
Dad rockets. It's cool. Yeah. Don't worry about
guy.
It. Same guy. Oh, I know.
So I messaged Phil, and he was so mad at me because I was trying to explain what the thing is, but it doesn't exist outside of, like, the one Etsy listing, and I didn't send him the Etsy listing. I just said, and I quote, I need a U-shaped circle. That was it. That's all I sent him. And he went, what the fuck are you talking about? And I'm like, you know, like a moat, but up in the air. Like, I don't. And he's like, Joe, you're hurting my brain. What? Show me a picture. So then I drew it in paint.
Oh my God.
It's like, I drew it in paint. I made the circle. I was like, top down, here's the thing. Side wall, here's the thing. Do you get it yet? And he goes, kind of. And then finally I was like, oh, right, I could just send him the Etsy picture. So I sent him the picture from Etsy. He goes, you motherfucker, you had that the whole time? And I was like, yeah, sorry, that one's on me, I forgot.
My bad.
So he made, like, a version of it that is, it's spec'd to my 3D printer, so it could go as wide. I modified it for, like, my 3D printer. I made the walls thick. I made it a different design, a little different. And then I printed it. And it was the longest print I've ever done. I was terrified the whole time. It was 67 hours. So I would go downstairs and look at it and look like absolutely nothing happened. And then I would go play games. And then before I go upstairs, before to like bed, I go look at it again. Looks like nothing happened. It's like barely moving. Go to bed, wake up, go downstairs, check it. It's moved, it's up a little bit, but like not as far as I thought it was going to be. And then did that for like basically 3 days.
Oh my God.
And then finally it finished while I was at work. And Aleda was like, it's done. And I was like, oh, thank God it didn't, like, because there are so many things that could go wrong while 3D printing big pieces like that. Because,
yeah,
there could be a clog and then it just taps the plastic, like it taps the piece. And then that's it. It just dislodges it. And now it's not moving anymore with the bed. The printer is just spitting plastic into nothingness. Like, there are so many things that could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully it didn't. It just worked and it looked great and it felt great. I don't have it here because I gave it to my sister so she could start doing her mock-ups and make sure it works. And I actually got a text message from her. She sent like a mock-up to the lady and she's like, oh my God, I absolutely love those pieces. Those look unreal. And I'm like, they don't exist.
Yeah.
That is one of one.
Yeah. That is a Joe special.
So I think what we're going to end up doing is I'm going to put her name, like her business name on the bottom.
Oh, that's cool.
Stamp it into the plastic while it's printing so that no one could scratch it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then the benefit of using 3D printers versus what she was going to buy, which was, I think it was made of clay. Was I could change the filament. I could make it with any color I want. So she was like, I wanted white, but not really white, kind of glossy, but not really glossy. And I was like, oh, let's do silk. And my sister's like, what? And I was like, but the thing that I could print with, I can print with so many different types of material.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, seriously? I'm like, yeah, I have one that looks like stone. Like I have one that looks like granite.
Yeah.
And she's like, does it actually look like granite? I was like, well, it depends on what you print. Because most of what I've printed to try to print kind of just looks like crunched up Oreos, which makes me really hungry, but doesn't make me look like it's granite.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was that. So I sent her that. And I was like, if you want it to look like stone, I could print it like that. It'll kind of look like stone. Kind of also Oreos. Mm-hmm. So
you get the scratch and sniff PLA.
They have the scratch and sniff one. They have one now that smells as you print.
Ooh.
And then now they have ones that have essential oil into the filament, so it will smell for X amount of months.
Oh, that's
like
cool.
An essential oil. So you could print like a vase that smells like
my lemon vase.
And just it'll be like that for like 6 to 8 months, and then it'll just be a regular. So I gave her one that looks like silk pearl. Because wedding, pearl, very common.
Yeah.
And I took, someone had a picture of like what they printed with. It was like a little vase. I sent it. And my sister was like, yep, that's what she wants.
That's it. And done. Like, print.
I was like, you got it. So now I have a roll coming. Because I just printed in like regular white.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have this pearl filament coming. And we're going to try it in pearl and see what it looks like. Another 67 hours. And then if that all goes well, I have to print 14 more.
Woof.
But...
get ready to rev up those 3D printers.
Yeah, I might actually end up buying another one. I don't know. Because it depends. Because I was going to, like, we were talking about how, like, I always do the hobby thing. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of fall out of it because it's like, okay, that was fun. Next.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like just a sinkhole of money. Because I don't sell anything. I do the thing and then I go to the next thing.
Yeah.
So... my sister was like, no, seriously, you should sell these. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, it's a wedding thing. People apparently really like them. You should sell them.
That's a good idea.
So I was like, oh, I could do that. And I could sell them for significantly less than the person who's selling the clay one.
Yeah.
Because apparently, as soon as you put wedding in the name of anything, it's like 500% more.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I don't think, fair.
No, God, no. Not really.
I don't think that's a fair...
No, so, it's complete horseshit, but...
yeah.
That's why you say you're having a family reunion. You just make the re really, really tiny.
Yeah. Or you're from Alabama. It's fine.
Before I'm watching the chat, says, seeing the wedding girl's reaction and excitement over the phone was so cool.
Yeah, she was...
That's awesome.
It was the first time I made something that someone actually was like, oh my God, that looks so good. And it wasn't just, like, a thing that I found on the internet that...
What, you mean that clamp for my MacBook charger?
Yeah.
Which I need to get reprinted, because it broke.
Easy peasy. That print literally took 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's... looking at what I have now, and that's the other thing...
Well, now we're going to have to design that trophy, too.
Yes, which I wish we had more time. So remember how I said I was supposed to get the thing to change all the colors?
Yeah.
That was supposed to come... this month or last month, like the end of last month / now. They had an issue. They had to redo a part. So it's going to be a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're waiting, which sucks because I wanted to use that for that because I wanted to print different colors.
Yeah. Like the logo in there. And
now I just have regular one color still. The thing that's now hurting me is that thing was also supposed to speed up my printer up to 60%. I don't know the direct, because there's so many different printers, like, you know.
Oh, there's a million.
X might make it 20% faster. Z might be 30% faster. So yeah. I don't know. But it was supposed to make mine faster. If I'm printing 67-hour pieces, and I got the new thing, and it's up to 60% faster... you could see the time difference saved. I could, like, be doing
30 hours right there.
I could be doing 30-hour prints versus 70-hour prints. Oh,
God.
So
that has to be so nerve-wracking.
It, with that printer, it is, because, like I said, there's so many things that can go wrong. And the new printers are nice because they have, like, the cameras set up, and some of them have, like, autofail. So, like, if it sees that something's going off, it'll just stop the print and alert you. Mm-hmm. Like, hey... it's not working right. I don't have any of that set up because the thing that I bought has all of that. So I've been waiting for that to show up because I want to set that up. I want to get the camera, like, looking at it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I could see it from my phone or my tablet and make sure everything is good without running downstairs. And, you know, the basic way a 3D printer works is there's a little wire inside the hot end, like a hot glue gun, that tells the temperature. And that's what tells the brain to keep that temperature correct. Sometimes those little sensors break.
Oh God.
And when they break, it's called thermal runaway. The machine doesn't know how hot it is. It turns the heater on all the way. The filament goes from 190 degrees Celsius to 700 degrees Celsius, becomes molten.
And here's juice.
Yeah. Juice flows out. It's black ichor. Everything smells. Now the print head melts because it's way too hot.
Mm-hmm.
So that fails. congratulations, you need like most of a new 3D printer. Like things like that are terrifying.
Oh yeah. And that's why I don't 3D print.
But
that, and I don't have space, but
eh. Yeah. But
whatever.
When it works and you come downstairs and you look at a print that I had like ironing, so like the top layer looks nice and smooth. It doesn't look like a 3D print because it literally ironed the print. I looked at it, and this is the first like big piece I've done. I was like, wow, this actually looks really good. I am actually proud of myself that I leveled this and made like calibrated it correctly to make this print this good. Because I've never had luck with those regular 3D printers and like them working correctly. That's why I went to resin. It was easier. Press the button, the resin thing comes out. Easy peasy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have these two stands for a couple of Star Wars things that I have. They're holocrons. It's a Star Wars thing that you can buy from Disney. My brother went to Disney and bought me both the Jedi one and the Sith one. And he's like, hey, they sell on Etsy these stands that you can put them on.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought them 3D printed with an acrylic like upper piece.
Yep.
It looks so good. I'm going to have to bring them on next week if we talk about like 3D printing and that kind of thing because they look so cool. And then he bought me kyber crystals, which for Star Wars, kyber crystals are what powers the lightsabers. And each crystal calls out to the Jedi, blah, 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 blah. Giant nerd about that. Whatever.
Anyway.
People make custom kyber crystals that when you take them and put them into a lightsaber that you buy at Disney, it changes the color of your lightsaber.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because the kyber crystal is what gives the lightsaber the color in Star Wars.
I wonder if I'd be able to print those. I'm assuming they're just resin.
What they are is they're resin with a microchip or an RFID tag in. And then inside the lightsaber or the holocron is an RFID reader that when you turn it on, it reads the RFID and it plays those sound clips.
Yeah.
I have double-sided kyber crystals. So one side will be one character if I flip it upside down. Is the other character. I don't know how they do it, but it is the coolest fucking thing. Because, like, you turn it on, and it's like, oh, it's this. And then if you take the two holocrons and put them together, they communicate with each other.
Mm.
And, like, there's a whole thing from one of the shows, and it's, like, the actual quote from the show. It's the coolest thing.
Interesting.
I'm obsessed with it. I'm going to bring it in and show, but it's so cool.
Whatever you plug in has all of the thing on it. Like, whatever the lightsaber is or whatever, has everything.
It probably has it already in the system somehow, and the RFID trips it and says, okay, play audio file one.
Yeah.
And there's multiple files. So, like, you can sit there and push, like, there. It's like heat-sensitive buttons.
Mm.
So you tap them at the same time, and it plays the file. You tap it again, it plays another random phrase. And there's, like, three or four different phrases. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's...
Technology is wild.
Isn't it?
And it's like, they're kids' toys.
Yeah, but like...
You know what I mean? Well,
they're kids' toys.
They're collector's dish. Yeah. They're collectors, guys.
They're
collectors. And actually, I'm a Star Wars Jedi Knight. And...
You do that way too well.
I've had years of practice.
Speaking of collectors, though, I was talking... month ago now
at this point
that I was like getting into magic again. Slowly. I did the tournament thing that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I had fun.
Really?
Yeah. It turns out, sometimes a change of scenery, really changes your, you know, how a thing is perceived.
Mm-hmm.
And, it turns out I actually did have fun. I ended up making, a new deck. And over the weekend, I just did a chaos draft, which was slightly expensive, but it is stupidly fun. A chaos draft is you go buy packs that are very old or, you know, whatever you want, your favorite packs. And then you draft them like you would be like drafting a new set, except it's not new. So everything I bought was from like 2010 and like 2012. And you'd have to imagine that buying old packs that are 10 to 12 years old are kind of pricey because they don't make them anymore. I have three of them over there right off camera.
Oh, I see them.
For the next time I do a chaos draft.
Oh.
But it ended up being a lot of fun drafting like the old cards again and kind of like remembering, like, because I bought packs that when I was like just getting into it. So at the time, not expensive when I was getting into it, now expensive, but like opening up the packs of like when I was getting into Magic was like a nice trip down nostalgia lane.
That's so cool.
And it was just fun. It was like a good, fun experience. So my Boxo Magic is actually right behind the camera. Because I've been going to a couple game stores around here and just playing a little bit more often. And
the addiction, like, is coming back.
You know, I'm not that bad. I haven't been like buying new cards or anything like that. Outside of like the original deck I made. But it was just nice to like play again. Didn't like the prices. Prices are insane right now for cards. wasn't okay with that.
Right.
That is insane right now. But outside of that, like just in a vacuum, playing Magic was fun again.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice.
That is really cool.
I'm glad that like doing hobby again after so long wasn't like, yeah, I remember why I hate this. It was like, oh yeah, this was fun. This was a thing you enjoyed doing.
Yeah. Well, for me, I recently, because of TikTok, I've started watching every now and then people opening packs of Pokemon cards.
Mm-hmm.
And a little while ago, I found my binder of like the original, like Gen 1 Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, God, those have to be worth a lot.
Depends.
Because they've only been in that sleeve, never actually really played with, just kind of, hey, here's a new card that I don't have. Throw it in the sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
So like I have a holographic Charizard. Mm-hmm. Like I have those cards that are can be pretty expensive.
You gotta go get them graded if you want money. That's the problem. And then
that's
I found
what I'm
out,
afraid of.
So my mom was digging through my old shit in her house, and she's like, "We have these Power Rangers binders." There was a Power Rangers playing like trading card game. Well, it wasn't really a trading card game. It was trading cards that you could open, and they were like however many cards in the set, and in the back, you got a Pog with the Power Rangers.
90s.
Yeah. So you had the pack of these collectible cards and then a Pog, and you had to collect them all. So my dad and my mom collected three full binders worth, one for each of us, one for me, one for my brother, one for my sister. And then I believe they still have the packs, too, that they put in there. So like the, you know, because they thought it was going to be worth like, you know, $1 million.
Yeah.
If only they went and bought Magic cards instead of, you know, Power Rangers, we would have been multimillionaires.
It's like my dad with Hess trucks.
Yeah, oh yeah, I have all of them in my basement. I don't know what to do with them.
He'd buy three. One for me, one for my brother, and one to hold on to.
Oh, no, we just got two. We always just got two. So I just, at some point, just stopped opening them because I'm like, collector. Now I'm like, that one's $4. Because 77 million other people bought them.
It's like a bunch of other like Star Trek toys my dad had.
Yeah.
He bought one for me and bought one to put away. And I'm like, Dad,
so
come on.
I have so many of those. So my mom finds these Power Rangers things. And she's like, how much do you think they're worth? And I'm like, I'm going to be completely honest, Mom. They're probably worthless. And she goes, what do you mean? I'm like, they're Pogs. I bought like 57,000 for like $4. Like, they're worthless. But she's like, well, the trading cards are probably worth something. I'm like, no, because as soon as they put collectible, all you people bought 7 million sets. So now they're worthless because there's 7 million sets.
It's like boomers with the state quarters.
Yeah. Well, I have that in my attic.
Same with my dad.
With the book. I have a big friggin' 2x3
caught everyone.
Book.
It's fucking money. They're going to make a million of them.
Yeah, they're gonna make a bajillion. It's just money. It's literally currency. Are dollar bills worth anything? Yeah, a dollar.
Although, as a kid, I fucking loved collecting them.
Yeah,
they were fun. Because I'm like, oh, I got to fill out the state.
Yeah, because my dad would come home with change in his pocket. He'd be like, do I have a new one? And we all, like, gather around his pocket change.
Yeah.
Literally gathering around pocket change.
My dad would do that. Because it was fun. Like, my dad, I think, did it because he thought it was going to be worth something.
Yeah.
I did it because I'm like, I want to collect.
Yeah.
It's shiny. It's money. I'm going to fill out the map.
Yeah.
That was because everyone had the USA and had all the things, and it said, "Oh, this country or this country, this state comes out in 2003.
Yeah, this one's coming out next year. You gotta wait for
it. I can't wait.
Yeah.
And they're always like shiny first edition, like new circulation. Yeah, you're just like, new. Yes.
I wanted to put one that was like beat to shit just in there. Just be like, yeah, you remember that one? That was a rough year. But
Delaware.
There were so many things because we were trained to collect at a young age. Because
oh my God,
collecting is money, because it was at their age when we were kids that all of like their baseball cards shot up to like a bajillion dollars. So then they were like, well, you have to collect all these card things too, because that'll be money when you're my age,
that's going to be worth a lot. So we're going to collect all of that.
So I looked it up. I'm trying to find it online. I found some of it. It's season one. And I think we have season two or whatever. We have complete sets. So I look it up on eBay. I finally find a listing. And my mom was like, so what'd you find? I was like, $4. She's like, oh, that's not bad. For the entire set. And the Pogs.
So glad I spent all that money for you kids.
Yeah. So she was like,
ungrateful little shits.
She's like, no, that can't be it. And I was like, you want me to find the other one? I'm looking by recently sold, which, by the way, not many. So I guess there's not a target market. And then that was like, I have baseball, like sealed season baseball cards.
Oh, that's cool.
So I have from, I think, 89, 90, and 91, because my dad bought them the first 3 years I was alive. He's like, you're good. These are baseball cards. They're going to be worth like a bajillion dollars. I looked it up now. There were so many people bought that it's been 30-something years, and they are still worth the exact same amount that they paid for them, $99. So at least they didn't go down in value.
That's actually not too bad, all things considered.
So you think it doesn't go down in value, except $99 in 1989 is a lot more than $99 in today's dollars.
That is also valid.
So that's like $400 worth of cards versus today's still $100. So,
yikes.
Thanks for trying.
Mm-hmm.
You picked the wrong ones.
There was an attempt.
Yeah, you did it, and it's great. But now, like, I was just talking to one of my friends about this. We're doing the basement. We're getting ready to, like, and I'm, like, going through. And Elena doesn't have a bunch of shit as, like, I do. She has a couple things, but, like, maybe she has a box. I have, like, 37 boxes down there, and I don't know what to do with it, because it's like childhood tours, childhood clothing, childhood memories, video games, which those are mine. It's mostly my fault. But like
every Sega console times five. Only
a few of them. not by choice. It kind of just happened. But like I have like...
Oops, all Sega.
Yeah, my trains are down there. Like I have so much shit collected. I'm like, I don't know what to do with them, because I can't put them in the attic because I was told that they would all go bad. They'll melt. It's in the attic. I'm like, it's plastic. How much can it melt? And then I remember that like the Hess trucks turned yellow, and I was like, oh, they'll fucking melt.
Oh, there it is.
So like, I don't know. I have like not a hoarding problem, but like, I don't know what to do with this. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who like... After they moved out, your parents were like, here's all that shit that we collected for you.
Yeah.
It's like, what am I supposed to do in that?
My brother's kind of going through that right now. He just moved out.
Mm-hmm.
And his room is still filled with his shit.
Yeah.
And part of it was my shit, because when we were growing up, we shared the room.
Mm.
So now that he's moved out into his own house, his room is just filled with random shit. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, are you going to get your stuff? Like, I was going to turn your room into an office. Like, I need some space. Can you get your shit out, please?
Yeah, you have a house now.
Yeah, you have a whole house to yourself. Go.
Okay, put it in one of your rooms.
And then my girlfriend's just like, I mean, I'll come over and help you throw things out.
No, that's how that works. Like, I have, right now the guest room is, like, completely full. Because we're trying to move stuff up, and I'm like, I don't want my video games to get all messed up.
Yeah. Well, because think about all the dust and shit that gets kicked up during renovation, right. So, demo, construction.
Yeah. So
whatever.
And then I'm looking down there and I'm like, oh, the other part of me is just a problem. I have the, but it could be useful for something syndrome that my dad has instilled into me.
The junk drawer.
Yeah. Except it's like everything. Cause it's not just a junk. My dad's like, we built something from IKEA. He's like, you're going to keep those screws? I'm like, why? He's like, well, screws. I'm like, yeah, but they're IKEA screws. What am I going to? He's like, well, you don't know. You could use it for something. And then, like, now I get it because I'll be building something. I'm like, oh, I have that screw. But I do that with, like, tech stuff, too. So, like, I got rid of, like, a computer. I'll pull the RAM out of it. I'll pull the hard drive out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what?
Which reminds me, you still have my hard drive from the Stormtrooper computer.
Yes. it's like, what am I going to use that for? Probably nothing. It's already old. It's not like I could put old RAM in a new computer. That's not how it works. You need new RAM for a new computer. So, like, why am I holding on to this? I might just need it one day. And then my brain's like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah. And I have, like, two or three full, like, shelving units of just old shit that I just refuse. I'm like, no, it could be. Because, I don't know, I hate throwing away old tech that is still technically usable.
Yeah, you could still use it, but
because I don't want to see it end up in a landfill. So it's like, that's why I do like the trickle down economics in my house.
That's how I got a computer.
Yeah, when I start projects, it's just like top to bottom. It's like, you know, the rich computer all the way down to the poor computer. And then the last computer is the poorest and oldest. And that makes me feel like, okay, it's,
you've lived your life.
Yeah, it's old enough that like, I really should let it go. Mm-hmm. It could barely open Chrome. Like,
yeah. I don't know. You've met my laptop.
Yeah.
2010 MacBook Pro still going strong.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do with all the stuff. Yeah. And I don't want to get rid of it because I feel bad. But I also know, like, no one else wants it.
Yes. And that's the thing, too. That's so difficult. Like, I definitely have some hoarding tendencies. Like, just hold on. And like you said, with like screws and that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
A while ago, I put in some like floating shelves and it came with some of the shittiest wall anchors I've ever had the displeasure of using.
But you still have them.
But I still have them because maybe I could use them later. I fucked up and didn't pre-drill the hole right.
I did that literally yesterday. I bought speaker wall mounts for my Klipsch computer speakers, put them in. There were like extra pieces in the box and a different mount, like in case I change the speakers, I get it. So I put them in the box and then put the box with like all the tool stuff. And I was like, yeah, just in case I get new speakers or something. And then I'm looking at it, and I'm like, it was fucking $9. I'll just buy them again.
Let me tell you about fucking boxes. I have the hardest time throwing away boxes.
Like empty boxes or yeah,
like the boxes for the things that I bought.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I bought my wheel.
Mm-hmm.
I still have the boxes that the wheel and the base came in.
Because
I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to move soon. I'll have a box. I have the boxes for all of the monitors that I've purchased between for work and my PC.
Although those never go back in the boxes.
I have... I have the box for my soundbar that I bought. I don't remember when I bought my soundbar.
It's a bar. I don't think.
It's a bar and a woofer.
Oh, okay.
So it's that weird part. Yeah. It's like the kind of thing.
Yeah, I rip apart those boxes so much that physically I can't keep them.
I have a whole corner of nothing but boxes.
No, I'm not that bad. I keep...
It's a whole corner, and it's behind my desk, and it's in, like, a weird, not very usable space,
because
I'm up in the attic.
Right.
And because of that, I have, you know, the pitch ceiling and all that.
Right.
So my desk is here, pitch ceiling coming down, and then I have the stairs up to the attic.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just this empty, unusable space behind, like, the staircase.
So it's the box case.
So box area. All of my boxes go there, but there's the door to get into the eaves for storage being blocked by all the boxes that should be in there. Can I just tell you that?
I see. I'm not that bad. I have a problem, chat.
Okay. And I'm glad Ange isn't watching right now because she would be agreeing with me or texting me or commenting or something.
We'll send her the YouTube link.
I guarantee you that's going to be one of the clips that gets pulled for socials is going to be me saying I have a hoarding problem.
I think everyone has like their own little section.
Oh, God damn it.
Boom.
Nothing to say. It's already been said.
The first step is admitting, okay?
I think everyone has their own little thing that they are like, you know, they have their hoarding problem with like
my collection.
Yeah. I have
fucking Little Mermaid over here.
I have two boxes or three boxes that I kept on purpose, and that is the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, I think, or something. Two consoles. Those are the only boxes that I kept because at that point, I got the house, and that's when I was like, oh, eventually I'm going to display all of my video game consoles like on a nice little whatever, and I want to put the boxes somewhere. Like, that was my thought process. Listen, it's not about me and that right now. Chat. But I kept those because I looked at the old prices of like video game consoles in boxes or having the boxes, and they are like four times the price.
Wow.
So if you go to try to buy just a box for like an N64, an empty box, you might pay $60 to $150 for an empty box.
I have my PlayStation 1 box.
That's probably worth money.
And my PS4 Drake.
Well, we know
Drake
you
Uncharted.
Have the boxes.
Shut up. I also have all of my PS2 games in Bertolli pasta boxes.
Excuse me?
So you know how when you go to BJ's or mm-hmm. Costco mm-hmm. and you buy in bulk and it comes in like, it's like six or eight boxes in a box. Mm-hmm. That box that all the boxes of pasta came in, mm-hmm. I used to pack all of my PS2 games and put them away. Mm. So now I have Bertolli pasta boxes filled with PS2 games.
That's hilarious. If someone ever tries to rob your house, they'll never find them.
I feel like that's the most Italian thing about me. And I'm only Italian by racing.
It's up there.
I have not a drop of Italian blood in me.
That's up there, Bob. I was going through all of my shit, and there are so many games that don't have boxes. I was like, oh, God. At some point when the basement's done and I want to put these on display, I'm going to need so many holders. And then I found out you could 3D print them. Someone made a nice little thing where the cartridges like fit firmly in little holders, but like don't hurt the pins.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, thank God, because that would have been just so much money to get replacement boxes.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, thank God. Now I have the urge to throw everything away in the chat. There's some boxes you could put stuff in.
I do have plenty of boxes.
Sorry, Bob.
I have a lot of boxes. I was going through some of my stuff the other day, and I'm like, "The fuck is in this?" And it was like, it was a box of zoo animals.
Just, I'm assuming for D&D. I hope
it was for D&D. It was for it was for my sheep one shot.
The chat, yes, those boxes are called trash.
Yeah. I have a problem. Okay.
Yeah, but you could probably build a great cardboard box for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I absolutely could.
Cleaning is rough.
Because my thought process with that is, okay, I'm going to be moving out. Mm-hmm. I might as well protect the things that I own by mm-hmm. putting them in the box. Like, don't get me wrong. If I buy a chair or if I buy something, you know, something along those lines, mm-hmm. that box most often mm-hmm. will get opened up in the living room and then thrown right back outside.
So it's a size
and I bring
thing.
The thing upstairs. But if it's something like, and Joe, stop encouraging him. but if it's something that's useful that held a purpose, like my monitors, mm-hmm. I paid, you know, decent money for my monitors. I don't want them destroyed in the moving process.
Devil's advocate.
So I put them in a box.
Once you put the stands on the monitors, they no longer fit in the boxes. Are you going to disassemble the monitors to put them back in the boxes? I have moved several monitors in my life. Once the boxes are gone, like once they're out, those boxes are dead to me. Because I'm not disassembling the monitors. I'm lazy. I just carry the monitors. Sometimes I'll put a wrap around them. Like I'll wrap like Amazon packaging or something. But it ain't going back in the boxes.
Because I have the box for my pedals. I have the box for my monitors. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a picture and put it up on the Instagram tomorrow.
Aren't your pedals made of steel?
Well, it's like plastic with diamond plating. And it's got the three pedals.
It's mostly metal? Plastic?
Yeah. Half and half.
Do you think the cardboard's stronger or the metal?
I'm going to take a picture tonight or tomorrow. Throw it up on our Instagram at Tabletop Trio. And you'll see.
Yeah.
And I'll be soliciting for what do you think. So drop your comments on the post when it goes out, both on Facebook and Instagram.
Let us know if you want Bob to wear cardboard armor before Ange throws it all away.
And then I'll throw the update of all of the boxes in the trash. Because they could be really good for putting things inside of.
I wonder if you're going to do the hoarder thing where you put them out to the trash. And then like an hour later or when Ange leaves, you just be like, no, I can't do it. We still need it. And just you go grab them all and bring them back inside.
I have never actually done that. Once they're out, they're out.
Okay.
Once it's gone, throwing it out. But there's always that thing in the back of my mind that's just like, but box.
There is a 2012...
You can put stuff in the box.
There is a 2012 iMac in the hall entryway of my house that my wife just took out of the car because I was supposed to throw it away. It went from my car to her car to my car to her car to the foyer again because I know it works and it just hurts me that I have to throw it away because there's nothing you could do for it. A video came out and they were like, you could put SteamOS on it and you could play games on it. Basically like a glorified Chromebook. And you could use that now. And then everyone was like, was it good? And they're like, no, but we did it. And then I'm like, I could do that. And then I'm looking at the Steam Deck that I own and the gaming computer and the NVIDIA Shield that could literally do it better and uses like 12 watts. And I'm like, fuck, give me a reason. I just need something. Just give me a reason to keep it.
In the chat, Ange goes, you haven't done it because you don't throw anything away. Why do you have to come at me like that?
We're being bullied in the chat.
You're also not wrong.
This is supposed to be a safe space.
But here's the thing. Ange is 100% correct.
Safe space.
I have a problem. And I'm well aware of my problems.
Yeah. That's why, like I said, I don't know what to do. I'm like, is there an ASPCA for old tech?
In the arms of an angel.
For just 37 cents a day, you could keep this hard drive out of a landfill. Can we
oh my God.
Put the song on. For your generous donation of 12 cents, you can keep a 2012 iMac out of a landfill.
Well, there's a clip for you right there.
I don't know, man. Eventually, you'll see. Oh, God.
Ange just texts me, it's been a long day. Now your texts are no longer a safe space.
F. Oh, yeah. I don't know. There's a lot to do, but I am really excited for the basement. We started laying things out and like where things are going to go.
Oh, nice.
Including the stream corner. So super excited about that. We're going to have like permanent lighting put in so I don't have to do like a 40-minute setup for every episode.
Especially on days that I'm running late.
Yeah. Well, just in general.
I walk in today and Joe's like, I did it. I set it all up and it all works.
Yeah.
And it only took me 45 minutes.
It wasn't that. Well, I had to find stuff. Because it's been long enough that I had to find things.
Yeah.
But thankfully, the new setup makes life so much easier.
I love this. And our setup is literally just a PC with a portable monitor.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And a capture card that is permanently installed.
Just plug and play.
Yeah.
It's great. So good. But we've been having some fun here tonight. I think that's a pretty good jumping off point for us.
Yeah.
Unless you have anything else. But yeah, no, this has been a ton of fun. Let me make sure I go back so we don't have the XP error instead of the closing music.
That would be fitting.
Yeah. But yeah, thanks y'all for hanging out with us tonight. As always, you can check us out on all the different social medias. Check us out on our website, tabletoptrio.com. It's down there in the lower third on the screen, like right over here. We'll be back with you next Wednesday, 8 o'clock Eastern. We go live, usually on screen by 8:05-ish, give or take. Yeah, it's been a ton of fun. So for one final time, I'm Bob.
I'm Joe.
And it's been Tabletop Trio. Have a great night. How good-